Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.
All right, welcome into another episode of Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. You can subscribe to us on iTunes, Stitcher, Audio Boom. Leave us a 5-star review. Follow us on Twitter at Locked On Bulls. Send us any questions or advertising inquiries at lockedonbulls@gmail.com. I'm Sean Hyken of Bleacher Report and NBC Sports. With me in person for the first time in about 2 weeks.
The band is back together. Cody Westerlund here of 670 The Score. Live in person alongside Sean. We appreciate your patience.
I am back.
And dedication to listening while we were over, what, like foams and Skype?
We had to definitely throw some homemade, like, makeshift solutions together. I think putting the phone on speaker was involved because of, like, a bad Skype connection at my hotel in Las Vegas. But it was pretty rough. If you're a real Locked On Bulls purist, you stuck with us. We are back in person. We are in the same room recording this.
And it is great news to have that. And we also have, not breaking, but
hard
we
Bulls
have
news.
Hard Bulls news.
Real
hard
Bulls news.
Since we were last with you, I think, on last Thursday. It's been 3 days or so. Doug McDermott chose number 11 as his new uniform number. Hard Bulls news. This is what you get in the dying days of July. For hard breaking Bulls news. Number 11, Sean.
Absolutely. He told us on the first day of training camp with Team USA, because he was on the select team, so he was out there. We asked him what number he was wearing. He said he was deciding between, I believe it was 11, 17, 24, and 34. He picked 11, which has been worn in the past by such Bulls luminaries as Ronnie Brewer, a Thibodeau favorite, BJ Armstrong, the agent of Derrick Rose and Denzel Valentine, and Dalibor Bagaric. Shout out Casey Johnson.
It's one of Casey's favorite players, I believe, along with Ben Gordon. I think one of those two things I just said is factually true and the other is a joke. But, hey, whatever.
He has Dalibor in his Twitter bio.
That's very true, you know? That's very true. So good for Doug. Number 11, I think the Bulls would be happy if he ascended to BJ Armstrong heights, probably, and became a good player on a championship team.
BJ Armstrong.
Outside shots.
BJ Armstrong made a lot of money for Derrick Rose with his contract.
That is very true. Derrick Rose, oh, we almost forgot. I'm glad you brought Derrick up. He called the Knicks a super team on Friday. A super team. If I had the quotes pulled up, I'd read you the whole thing. But basically, it was Derrick talking circles and saying things just like he did in Chicago when he was with the Bulls for 8 years. And I want to point out now, I think as Bulls fans, you're going to get a kick out of everything Derrick Rose says while he's with the Knicks, because now it doesn't frustrate you. You can just sit back and watch from a time zone away, hundreds of miles away, and laugh. But he basically said, insinuated, Adam Silver and these other people are calling the NBA their super teams out there, like the Warriors and us. And Derrick was kind of referencing just all the politics of the NBA now and what's good for the game. But he definitely dropped Knicks, Warriors, super teams.
Those are definitely the two super teams. The Warriors are the super team of the 2016-17 season. The new look Knicks are the super team of the 2010-11 season. I mean, he does have a point. If this is like, because like in 2K, I think I don't have a game system, so I don't play 2K. But I've been told that in the current version of 2K, you can, like, mix and match players of different years. Like, you can take, like, 92 Michael Jordan and then, like, 96 Shaq. You can, like, put different guys. So, I mean, if you take Melo,
yeah,
you take 2011 Rose, you take 2014 Noah,
yeah,
from when
absolutely
he was Defensive Player of the Year. I mean, yeah, that's a super team. That's a title contender.
Yeah, take Brandon Jennings before his knee injuries. Take
Brandon
Courtney
Jennings,
Lee while he was,
Brandon
I don't
Jennings
know,
literally
defense.
Brandon Jennings his rookie year when he scored 55 points in a game with the Bucks.
Oh, that would be fascinating. Absolutely. And we should point out, the NBA schedule should be coming out in a couple weeks, usually early August,
it's
right?
Usually early to mid-August. There was just an article by Josh Robbins of the Orlando Sentinel about the guy who's in charge of making the schedule. It used to just be one dude that literally made the entire schedule for the league, and he retired. And then now it's more of like a centralized system, but it's kind of fascinating how it goes into it, because, you know, some teams have multiple, some arenas have multiple tenants, like the United Center is one of them because the Blackhawks play there too. In the case of LA, the Clippers and the Lakers play there, and so do the LA Kings and the NHL. Plus, you know, a lot of these arenas have concerts, and those tours are booked, like concert tours that play in arenas are booked in advance, and then there are other events, like the Bulls always have the circus trip every year when the circus books up the United Center for 2 weeks, so they go on the road, and there's all that kind of stuff.
And I just bring it up because, I mean, we're still waiting on that Bulls-Knicks first game. Anxiously awaiting to
see. This is actually a good discussion. Do we think it'll be opening night or Christmas? Because it's going to be one of the two.
I mean, they play four times usually, so I think it'll be opening night and it might be Christmas.
Well, no, because they're going to want to have... They're not going to do both, because they're going to want to have a matchup that we haven't seen already this year
On Christmas.
And I feel like it's going to be on Christmas, because on Christmas they want to showcase usually the big markets. So having the ability to have New York and Chicago in the same game, because, you know, if those two teams were playing separately, then, you know, neither of those teams are really going to be contenders, so that might be two not very interesting games. But if you have New York and Chicago playing each other on Christmas, you have two of the three biggest markets in the league, and you are guaranteed, if it's at the United Center, it's guaranteed to be a compelling storyline when it's Rose and Noah coming back to Chicago for the first time.
That's a good point. I wouldn't be against both, though. I wouldn't be against.
Well, there are three, like, marquee games that, like, might be on national TV for the Bulls, like, marquee matchups. There's that one. There's the first Bulls game in Miami with Dwayne Wade going back to the Heat. And then there is the first game between the Bulls and the Timberwolves in Chicago. The one in Chicago. Oh.
We're going to have Tibbs in town this week for USA Basketball.
We are.
I think you've mentioned this before.
He's an assistant coach on Team USA.
So Thibodeau was here for the NBA Combine. I believe he's also here for the NCAA tournament when it was held at the United
States. But he was just there.
So he briefly commented at the NBA Combine, but it wasn't a reporter scrum where you're going to have the legendary, the luminaries of Chicago media asking everything, where you're going to have 15, 20 minutes of probing questions. It was a little bit more of a quick TV informal interview last time. So this time will be different here this week.
Right, and I mean, I talked to Tom a bunch just the last couple of weeks in Vegas at Summer League, but that was just more just chatting with him. It wasn't like an on-the-record interview, and we also didn't talk about the Bulls very much.
He seems genuinely happy.
Well, I mean, he's making $8 million a year to coach Andrew Wiggins and Karl Anthony Towns. He doesn't have... I mean, his clashes with Bulls management were very well publicized when he was here in Chicago, and now he is the coach and president of basketball operations, so he's technically his own boss, so there's a lot less stress. He has a young team that's not expected to be a title contender. He's making a lot more money than he was making in Chicago. Yeah, but yeah, every time I've talked to him, it's funny. He's never really, like, when he was in Chicago, like, he would, like, acknowledge me, but we were never really, like, friendly in particular. But then now, every time I've seen him in Vegas or at the Combine last month, he was like, hey, it's so good to see you, and then he'll talk to me for, like, 15 minutes. He just seems like he's in such a good mood right now.
Yeah, that's good for him, too, because I know the last couple of years with the Bulls really wore on him, and he didn't have much fun at all that final year in Chicago.
I think the year off did him good. He's lost a lot of weight too.
Yeah, and but he's a guy that is so smart at basketball. We've gone over this. The Timberwolves are going to be great again, so there'll be another time in podcast to talk about that. Probably this week.
Yeah,
Wednesday, Thursday after he talks, but we can't take your Twitter questions until we address the biggest topic in Chicago, maybe the biggest topic in the sports landscape. Chris Sale of the Chicago White Sox, who are owned by Jerry Reinsdorf, who owns the Bulls, cut up his jersey in the White Sox clubhouse before the game and was sent home.
Now, I want something clarified. Did he cut up just his jersey, or did he cut up everybody's jersey?
It's somewhere between his and everyone's. I don't think he cut up all 25. But he cut up more than one.
And was it with a knife or scissors?
That's unclear. There have been reports of both. I think scissors seems to be more the play here, Sean. But we're kind of thinking, like, that is just absurd. And it's so absurd, I think it was even out of the realm of what the absurdity the Bulls could have brought forth last year.
Well, I just don't think there's any personalities that were on last year's Bulls that you could look at and say, yeah, I could see them doing that. I could kind of see Rajon Rondo doing that now.
I was going to say, if we have to draw a parallel to the Bulls, like, He's far and away the clubhouse leader to do something similar.
But I do know the all-time NBA player who'd be the most likely to do this.
And that would be?
Gilbert Arenas.
Why?
It just seems like such a guilt. Like, Gilbert Arenas, you have to remember, even besides the gun thing, which obviously was not, which unfortunately is a lot more serious and not a laughing matter, you know, Gilbert Arenas also just, like, did other crazy stuff back before the injuries when he was still kind of a beloved figure. One time he took a shower wearing his full uniform at halftime of a game. Just and then came back out soaking wet for the second half. Just stuff like that.
What a goofball. I mean, I guess in Bulls lore it would be, was Ron Artest, I believe it when he was a Bull, drink Hennessy at halftime?
Well, he would drink Hennessy, but Ron Artest also would, like, one time when he was with the Bulls, he got a summer job at Circuit City because he wanted to get a discount on TVs.
What did he not have a bonus of some sort in his contract, a poor negotiation or what? I don't know.
Shout out to Circuit City, by the way. It's not a thing anymore, but shout out to Circuit City.
R.I.P. Circuit City. R.I.P. Circuit City. They don't exist anymore. Yeah, moving on, though. We did want to take some of your Twitter questions. Team USA destroyed China tonight, I think 106-57. We're recording this on a Sunday night.
Yeah.
Jimmy Butler played 14 minutes, played some good D, had 2 points on one of one field goals. So he's not expected to play a big offensive role on Team USA, but he got out there a little bit. And we have a question from @GreekBullsFan on Twitter. Says, is Jimmy Butler a good recruiter? And which Team USA player is going to be his best friend and perhaps a future Bull who they sign in free agency?
Now, this is not an insignificant thing because the idea of recruiting on Team USA has kind of shifted the balance of power in the NBA. After Kevin Durant decided to go to the Warriors, all the stories came out about how he became so tight with Steph Curry and Andre Iguodala when they were on the USA team together at the FIBA Championships in 2010.
Yeah.
So, and like that was the start of their relationship with those three, and that, you know, that was kind of what sowed the seeds for all three. And the other thing is that back in 2004 or 2008, LeBron...
2008, yeah.
2008, LeBron...
The seeds were planted.
LeBron, Bosh, and Wade all teaming up and joining the Miami Heat together. So, I mean, it's
that's
possible that if...
That's one of the biggest, I guess, storylines or draws of Team USA now, because obviously it's not a huge moneymaker. You risk injury. Your teams aren't always happy.
Well, it's a prestige thing. If you're Carmelo Anthony, you're not going to win an NBA championship anytime soon unless you agree to get traded from the Knicks. So if he can win a third gold medal, that's a part of his legacy that he's going to be able to...
Being around your boys, too, just opening up opportunities for your future self, whether it's on the basketball floor in winning titles or just marketing opportunities off the basketball floor. Being on Team USA is great for your marketing brand.
Absolutely.
Nike also.
Absolutely.
Is the power
it's a Nike
here.
Thing, and Jimmy Butler's a Jordan guy.
Yeah.
So.
So, I mean, thoughts though? I mean, can Jimmy recruit anyone on Team USA here? The obvious name is Boogie Cousins, Sacramento Kings talented center, will be a free agent in 2018. So we're not looking at anyone next year.
Right. There are a couple of guys that are free agents. I mean, Kyle Lowry is a free agent next summer, but I think it's going to be like with DeMar DeRozan, where DeMar DeRozan got his deal done with Toronto pretty quickly. He didn't even talk to any other teams. And I think Lowry, from everything we know, wants to be there. And I also don't know if I'd want to give Lowry a big contract. He's 30 now. He's going to be over 30 next summer. Steph Curry technically is a free agent, but he's not going anywhere. Kevin Durant technically can opt out, but he's also not going anywhere. So the next two guys in 2018, DeMarcus Cousins is a free agent and Paul George has an opt out. So, I mean, I guess theoretically, if one of those two guys really connects with Jimmy Butler and he stays in his ear, possibly. I don't think it's likely, but
Boogie would be the one to get in, get in Boogie's ear. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He is so talented. He would make sense.
He'd be an incredible fit in Chicago.
Yeah, and I mean, the Kings, obviously, who knows? They could still trade him before them.
I think they will. I don't think they will anytime soon. When we've talked about this in the past, when people have asked us if the Bulls have a package, which they don't.
They're
but,
not.
Like, but the Kings have a new arena opening up this season. I don't think they're going to trade him until they've sold some season tickets.
Yeah, absolutely. So... Jimmy, I mean, maybe we'll ask him this week, you know, who's your best friend on Team USA and report back. That's something I suppose we can, we'll frame it a little differently than, hey, who's your best friend? But, you know, who you forming a bond with, who you spending time with and hanging out with, we can definitely look into. We got a quick hitter here. Brian on Twitter. Are the Bulls likely to land veteran guard Kevin Martin?
He is a free agent, isn't he? He's unsigned. He was with Minnesota for a few years, and then he got bought out last season and signed with the Spurs. Didn't really play much. I don't... First of all, the Bulls roster is pretty much set, barring a trade. They could bring in... Like, they have...
They could get rid of Dinwiddie.
They could get rid of Dinwiddie, but I think they like Dinwiddie, and I think he has more upside than what Kevin Martin is at this point. He's a pretty one-dimensional player. He's still a good shooter, but he can't really do pretty much anything else.
I feel like we got that question because Kevin Martin has been in, like, Bulls rumors or tied to them, it seems like, for years or something. You know what I mean? Like, it's a throw-in trade or trade acquisition something. So, moving on. Paul via email. Good question here. We like this one, Paul. Should the Bulls risk another Joakim Noah situation with Taj Gibson by not starting Taj this upcoming season? Taj has always been a team guy who seemed to be one of the few who had Fred Hoiberg's back last year, and he's obviously entering a contract year. But Paul asks, should the Bulls risk another Noah situation in background? The Bulls didn't start Joakim Noah after he'd started for years. He had some kind of pushback there, wasn't happy about it. Fred Hoiberg completely botched the explanation to the media of how it all went down. Didn't help the relationship either. But your thoughts on that ordeal with Taj, Sean?
Well, that's a good question, Paul. My thoughts, I don't think they're entirely comparable situations. Because with Noah, he was the starting center for years when they were... Because they were title contenders for a couple of years in 2011, obviously. And then in 2012, before Rose went down, they were the one seed in the East. And Noah was the starting center. And then a year later, he won Defensive Player of the Year in 2014. So, you know, it was the kind of thing where he had been the starting center for 6 or 7 years, and then suddenly he was asked to come off the bench. Taj, last year was really the first year that he started consistently. He's been coming off the bench his whole career, and he's always been adamant. He's willing to do anything. He'll start. He'll come off the bench. He's come off the bench for years under Tibbs and didn't complain about it. I will say... I wouldn't be too worried about a long-term, like, your relationship with Taj, because I don't think that in 12 months we will be sitting here next July and Taj Gibson will be a member of the Bulls. It seems like they'll probably keep him to start the year, but I think there's a pretty good chance he'll either get moved at the deadline or they'll just let him walk in free agency, because, you know, he's getting to be on the wrong side of 30, and he's going to... When you look at the money that some guys got paid this summer, Taj Gibson, for what he can bring to a team at both ends of the floor, is going to get $16, $17, $18 million a year. I can't imagine the Bulls are going to want to re-sign him for what his market rate is going to be. So I think if...
You do what's best for the team,
I think. You do what's best for the team, and if Taj is unhappy at the deadline, I think he's still good enough that, you know, they could get something for him at the trade deadline if they decide to go in that
direction.
Back to
the question, I mean, I say you do what's best for the team, too, in the starting rotation. I wouldn't be worried about the risk associated with Taj being upset with not starting, because you need shooting. You don't have a lot of it. Niko Mirotić makes sense there. And I do think this needs to be pointed out.
Okay.
Joakim Noah meant so much, so well-liked by teammates. Most teammates, obviously, a little different. There were some... locker room disagreements last year, but a well-liked guy all around, but this has to be said, he was also a moody individual, and I mean that would come out after losses. Many times he would be very short with his answers to the media. At times there were questions he'd scoff at, and through the years, and I mean I've covered the Bulls 2.5 years, you've covered them around three years. And Joe and Taj's just approach and personality is a little different.
Taj is very even-keeled.
Taj is so even-keeled. Win or lose, he usually has the same approach. And that's not a direct correlation, but start or not start to Taj is kind of the same, just even-keeled approach with that both ways. So I don't think...
As long as he gets minutes, and he's going to get minutes because he's one of, like, three guys on the entire team that can defend.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so, like... And I mean, I get that, you know, he's going into a contract year, so he wants a chance to put up big numbers, but I don't think it's going to matter. Timofey Mozgov played, like, a total of 76 minutes in the playoffs, and he got $16 million a year from the Lakers. So I think Taj is going to get... Taj is going to get paid next summer regardless.
Yeah, so that wouldn't be a big concern in my eyes. Edward on Twitter asks, can you give me a reason to keep my cable subscription and watch the Bulls this season? I think 30 wins is optimistic. Well, we got a guy threatening to cord cut here now. I mean, we're trying to save the industry and give him a reason to keep his cable.
Is the three alphas not enough?
Right? Like, this is going to be great. I don't, we can't tell you what's going to happen. We can only tell you it's going to be entertaining.
See, even if the Bulls, like, last year the Bulls, what did they win, 42 games this past season?
Yeah.
42 or 41. 40, like, even 40. If the Bulls win five fewer games than last season.
I guess we should tell Edward, maybe you don't want to watch the game, but tuning into the post game could be fun.
The post game show is going to be fanatic.
The fallout in the locker room if they have a tough loss and the final play didn't get drawn up for one of the three alphas or egos who wanted the basketball. If they botch something in that regard, you know, where it doesn't look work on the floor, Dwayne Wade and Rajon Rondo aren't going to be scared to stand up and say why and place blame at the fault of people, I think, who deserve it. Keep your cable subscription for the post-game show.
Even if the Bulls have 10 fewer wins than they did last year, it's going to be 10 times more fun to watch. Last year was the absolute worst-case scenario if you're a Bulls fan. They were both mediocre and not that interesting. This year, we don't know if they're going to be a playoff team or not. I think they might if everybody stays healthy, but they're at least going to be interesting. We know that just because of the personnel. The other thing is Dwayne Wade is still really fun to watch.
Yeah, he is. He's a guy that slashes to the bucket. And he really stepped up in that postseason series against the Hornets. And if I remember right, they lost game 5 at home. And then he had that big game in game 6 on the road.
He played
and
great against the Raptors in the second round, too.
Taunting Charlotte fans and stuff. And that was entertaining. So I do think you'll get a kick out of Dwayne Wade. He's still, and I think we might have got this as a Twitter question. We might be stealing one on that we forgot or ignored. But he's a top 5 shooting guard of all time in NBA history. Maybe top 3 or so. I don't know.
Only two guys I can think of that are definitively ahead of him are Jordan and Kobe. And then, you know, you can put, you know, Jerry West in there, whoever you want. But he's certainly in that top 5. And it's been really since Jordan that the Bulls have had an all-time top 5 guy at a position on the team.
Yeah. And who knows? Like, we want to get involved with his, have the latest breaking news involving his Snapchat, too. And
I'm still getting used to, we're still getting used to the idea, like, now the team that we cover, part of our job description is now is now caring about what Gabrielle Union posts on Snapchat. Like, that's part of our job now.
The Dwayne Wade Snapchat update on his promotional shoes tour from China. He was on, like, some pickup basketball court or some court setup, and it was like an amateur dunk contest. And there were, like, three of these guys that, I don't even know if the hoop was at 10 feet. It might have been, like, 8 feet, and they were dunking, and everyone was cheering.
And Gabrielle was wearing some ripped up denim overalls that probably cost more money than you and I make in a year put together.
Yeah, absolutely. So we'll keep an eye on that for you. And we'll wrap it up, too, with this question from Dwayne on Twitter. Rondo was a league average 3-point shooter last year. Why does this seem to be ignored? It seems reasonable to me that Rondo and Jimmy Butler can shoot around 36% or so on 3-pointers. So why is everyone so pessimistic? And Dwayne has a point that 2 years ago, Jimmy Butler was closer, I believe, to 37% or so on 3-pointers. Rondo had a long history of being bad at 3-pointers and then made around league average, which is 35%. In the NBA, 3-point shooting, and he was somewhere around there. I don't have it right at my fingertips.
I have his basketball reference page up right now. He shot 36.5% from three last year. His highest total before that was, in the season, was 31.4. And then before that, there was only one other time in his career, which was the 2008-09 season, that he shot above 30%. So I'm going to... I mean, maybe he did genuinely, because, I mean, to be fair, again, he shot 35.2% in the half season in 2014-15 that he was in Dallas. So, I mean, maybe it's a continuation of the improvement, but I'm going to take the 10-year sample size over the 1-year sample size when it comes to Rondo's shooting. It looks, so, this 36% from last year looks like a pretty big outlier when you look at
to
the
me, the
career.
Thing isn't, like the reason for pessimism is because... Like, the loftiest approach we have here is trying to get them to average. And even if they're at average, that's, like, not good. That's helpful for the offense, but it's still not scaring opponents. They're still, they won't be ignored at the three-point line, but opponents still aren't going to be chasing them on around screens and opening up a ton of space because they're paying attention to the Bulls' three-point shooters. So I just think that problem is going to persist no matter what, the whole floor spacing deal.
The other problem with it is that Rondo is not a guy that ever really looks for his own offense.
Yeah.
Like, he's a guy, it's not like he's been a bad shooter and then he took a bunch of them. Like, he actually shies away from ever trying to score, both because he wants to pad his assist numbers, and he's such a bad free throw shooter that he tries to not Corey get Conger. Fouled. So I'm not planning on Rondo. I mean, I think it's very possible that Jimmy, just, you know, how young he is and, you know, how hard he works and at the point that he's at in his career, I think it's very possible that Jimmy gets back up to league average or a little higher than league average. I'm not going to go into the season counting on Rondo being a three-point threat. If it happens, that's great, and that really helps the Bulls, but I'm not going to go in, you know, saying that it's likely that happens.
Yeah, very true. On deck for the rest of the week, we have USA Basketball in town Wednesday, Thursday for practice. Exhibition game against Venezuela.
You enjoy Friday. That. You enjoy that. I'm going to see Radiohead.
I will have. Should I live tweet every possession of Venezuela Team USA expedition? That might be what it seems like.
You can
exhibition though.
You can if you want. We'll see how many followers you lose from doing that. We do also the same day though. We have the Dwayne Wade introductory press conference.
We do, and so sometime between like now and Friday, Dwayne has to get from China to Chicago somehow. We'll keep you updated on when he does come back.
I'm sure the entire journey will be documented on Snapchat by both him and Gabrielle Union.
It'll be terrific. But as always, please do email us at lockedonbulls@gmail.com with any advertising inquiries, with any basketball-related questions that are more than 140 characters. If they're less than 140 characters, hit us up at lockedonbulls on Twitter, at Hyken, at Cody Westerlund. Find us on iTunes. Subscribe to us on iTunes. Find
us on 5-star reviews.
Find us on Audioboom, on Stitcher. Tell your friends' friends. As always, thanks for listening, and we'll catch you soon enough.
Rush into Old Navy today for up to 50% off store-wide. Get dresses from $15 for women, $12 for girls, plus up to 75% off clearance for the whole family right now at Old Navy and OldNavy.com. Valid 10/16 to 10/20, select styles only.